purpose of the sort of series was to help us get to be familiar with, you know, the different deities and Buddhas of the Tibetan tradition, as they are presented in the Tibetan tradition of the Mahayana Buddhism, so that we might be inspired to develop a connection with some of the practices of some shape of these Buddhas and deities, so in order to awaken our light qualities for the sake of the simple being. So to make this time as meaningful as possible for myself and others, it's important to try to listen with an open mind and good motivation. And the very best motivation we can have is the positive motivation we should achieve in writing, in order to be able to repay the kindness of my simple beings while dropping them and achieving writing. That motivation arises from understanding my connection to one thing, so that it means that I'm just every simple being without exception has definitely been my mother and father. Our mother or father, simple beings who helped us and supported us with the pain and longing, countless ways within themselves are. But sadly, all these beings are suffering. So we can generate that thought, how wonderful it would be if all these beings could experience suffering before it's for you. How wonderful it would be if they could experience that new perfect happiness and it's for you. That leads to the thought, not only that this would be wonderful, but I myself have to do it. And to do that, I have to achieve enlightenment. So to achieve enlightenment, I need to commit towards this. So if you'd like to join in the traditional prayer of refuge and virtue, this is on page 7 of the prayer text, or the last teaching prayer text. So as we say this prayer to make it more meaningful, more effective, we can think of the Buddha or visualize Shakyamuni Buddha, the historical Buddha, who found us as our source of refuge, inspiration, and guidance, at the same time trying to think of all simple beings surrounding us, starting with our mother of this life on our left, our father on our right, family, friends, and objects behind us, fathers and mothers, as much as we can, opening our hearts and minds to the awareness and concern for all other beings, sacred beings.
Sangha Chadam Loga Chonam La Dhanjo Vargo Dhani Dhamsuji Dhaga Chasana Gita Sangha Jola Panja Sangha Jopa Sho Sangha Chadam Zogya Chonam La Chanjo Bhagu Dhamni Kabzuchi Dhaga Chazo Dhe Sungi Jola Panja Sangha Jopa Sho. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened through the Buddha and Dharma of the Supreme Assembly. By the merits I pray through the seat of the Dharma, may I become a Buddha in order to benefit of all sentient people.
So if you find it helpful, imagine that the Buddha is very pleased with the motivation that you have to listen to the teachings about the Buddha. So think that because of that, the Buddha now approaches the directly above one's crown, the action of the Buddha then dissolves into blissful golden light, so that that light can pour down into the person in the world. So then for a short time you can do some breathing meditation, such as the mind round breathing exercise, to enhance that positive state of mind. More concentration, so that we can use that mind to the There's just a few things I'd like to repeat from what I've said in the last couple of weeks, just because there's probably always a few more different people here. So, one thing that I was trying to get myself to make this whole exercise meaningful is that from a Buddhist point of view, from Buddhist understanding, the enlightened mind, the initial mind in particular, is always present. For all minds, in the very nature of forms, non-physical. Certainly, Buddha's mind, having been free of all, the Buddha's mind being free of all obstruction. It's like space, it's unbounded, unlimited, it's omnipresent, pervaded by great wisdom and compassion. And so that mind is acting as the benefit of all sentient beings all the time. So the Buddha's mind being unrestricted and acting as the benefit of beings in countless different ways, that formless mind, that non-physical mind, can manifest to take physical forms, what appears to be physical forms, such as the Anishinaabe Buddha, or hearing as great teachers like His Holiness the Dalai Lama, a teacher of hearing as other great teachers, hearing as ordinary people, to benefit sentient beings, to hearing as animals, inanimate objects, all sorts of things, to benefit hearing as books, hearing as book made as Buddha. Discover an interesting book that helps you in your life, you come across all this out of the blue, benefits you, maybe it's the Buddha manifesting just at that time for you. Who knows? It sounds very bizarre, but that's what the teachings say is possible. Buddhas can appear as statues and paintings, so they also appear as these different, in different forms. There's the most common appearance of the Buddha is as Shakyamuni Buddha. That's the appearance of achieving enlightenment. But then the Buddha mind can manifest in other forms of Buddha, such as Shakyamuni Buddha, and as the deities. So the deities, the term deity is used specifically for the Buddhas in their tantric aspect, related to the tantric practices of Buddhism, which are about achieving enlightenment very quickly. So the deities are Buddhas, and one of these deities is or Buddhas is Tara. So in the first book in the series I talked about Avalokiteshvara, who represents the great compassion of the last week I talked back to Tibetan and the official was determined it was translated as Jim Rezig. Last week I talked about Manjushri, the embodies the great wisdom, the transcendental wisdom of the light and mind. So in Tibetan, Manjushri is called Jumpur Nam. And so Tara, who appears as a female Buddha, she embodies, in a sense, is the embodiment of both wisdom and compassion. She has both aspects. As I said before, all the deities have all the qualities that in life finds, and Manjushri also has the same compassion as children with Avalokiteshvara, but embodies, you know, represents a particular aspect. Whereas Tara represents the combination of those two qualities, wisdom and compassion. But also, more specifically, Tara represents you jump up already. There's too much jumping up and down. She represents what is called the enlightened activity of the Buddha. So in Tibetan, the term for enlightened activity is chinna. Our activity is called in Tibetan Veda or Karma. In our karma, we have ordinary results, whereas the activity of the Buddhas is very spectacular, only positive results. So Tara, again, Tara, Manjushri, and Chimrita, Avalokiteshvara, is all a Sanskrit term. So Tara in Tibetan, this Tibetan term, Tara, drawn. And that term means liberator. Tara is the liberator. She is the being. Her quality will liberate us. She's also sometimes called Arya Tara. So Arya, an Arya in Tibetan, actually in Buddhism, refers to anyone who is directly perceived the nature of reality. So the Tibetan term for Arya is Padma, or Padkam. So Sigurd's theme is of Padma, Padma being Arya Tara. So she symbolizes the enlightened activity. It's called chinna, enlightened activity, which of course is to unbendings in human beings. So just as all of these deities, these Buddhas, represent aspects of the enlightened mind, of course they also represent potentials within our mind, because we all have human nature, we all have potential for enlightened mind. So we all potentially have the qualities of Avalokiteshvara, we all have the potential quality, in potential form, the qualities of Manjushri, and we are all having qualities of what Arya Tara represents. Okay? Looking very worried.
Okay.
Yes.
Sorry.
I was just sending Jim down more stuff. Just tell me, I point out if I'm saying something really dumb or stupid. We need something qualified. It's not the point of traveling on the present and peace. Yeah. So Arya Tara is, do we have a picture? Is really one of the most beloved popular practices of within, especially in the Tibetan tradition. So just as there are various forms of Manjushri, various forms of Avalokiteshvara, there are also various forms of Tara. So the main forms are green Taras, for example, as the people in that tanda just here. So that is green Tara, that's the most common and popular form of Tara. So when talking about Tara, it's referring to green Tara. So she represents the enlightened activity of all the Buddhas. Another a common form we move on is white Tara.
Sorry.
I think it's just like a slide version. White Tara. So she represents the so the practice associated with her is particularly that she has very specific purpose, which is overcoming obstacles to one's life and being able to prolong one's life. So in Tibet, well, as it's in the Tibetan tradition, it is believed that every 12 years of our life, we experience positive karma, we can experience obstacles to our life. Probably, there was what was more recently than or realized that tradition is every 12 years, it's possible that one can experience external internal obstacles to one's life. So particularly if you have those, one does the practice of longer of Tara to remove those obstacles. So she is depicted with her legs crossed in the back of position, and in her hands and the forehead, she has eyes, so she has the eastern eye with her forehead and on her palms. So green Tara doesn't have all those features. And then another very common aspect of Tara is within the next one, which is the 21 Tara. Central figure again is green Tara, surrounded by these other 21 Taras. So one way you can think of the 21 Taras as separate entities, but also one can think of them as different aspects of Tara herself, of the main Tara, green Tara. So I'm going to mostly talk about almost entirely about green Tara. Thank you. There are also many other kinds of flowers. There's rotara, the black dwarf rotara with flames coming out of her. The white and green flowers and the pink one flowers. These are the most common in Opus Dei. So in representing, greens are in representing the enlightened activities of Buddha's what she, within that also, what she particularly is famous for, and that's where the Buddha sort of people, is that by relying on her practice, pouring on her, connecting with her, doing visualization of Tara and reciting the mantra and so on, then this can help eliminate all sorts of obstacles for one's dharma practice and obstacles in one's life and journey, and one's having any kind of problem in life, one can be sensed for a long time. And so Tara is really the practice here. Tara energy that is in one sense out there because the Buddhas are out there all around us, so that Tara energy is always there. But that Tara energy is able to eliminate obstacles, is a potential within our own life. So in relation to what appears to be this external vanity and sense, it's a weight and it's helping to activate a quality that we have in us that enables us to be able to deal with problems and face them and overcome them skillfully. And not only that, to do this quickly, Tara is a quick advocate. She acts for doing things quickly and doing success. So if you want success in life, rely on Tara. Of course, unfortunately, this is not just magic that you just visualize Tara and sorry for the mantras and everything goes well in your life. Unfortunately, it doesn't mean that. Because everything depends on karma. If you don't have the karma for things to go well, it's not going to happen. But by adding this extra dimension of relying on Tara, relating to that dimension, that helps to somehow change the conditions so that our negative karma, feeling suffering and problems and difficulties and sickness, etc., etc., it is reduced and it goes to a situation where some of that absent our positive energy that brings success and happiness and health and whatever, and of course, more and more. And again, as I try to emphasize in the last 2 weeks, all of these practices really depend a lot, not so much on having an intellectual understanding of all these things, but having faith. Although Buddhism in general, emphasize how important proper intelligent understanding of the teaching. Because if one cultivates that logical, analytical understanding of the teaching, that is the basis for a really strong, indestructible refuge in faith in the teachings. But sometimes, some aspects of the teaching, so one means that to some extent, but on that basis, some other aspects of what Buddhism is all about is not accessible so much to us as all the good ones, so just logic. So we need a little bit of blind faith. The base, our interest, our refuge in Dharma should be all blind faith. It should be based on some intelligence. that. And if we have a sense of that, then we can open ourselves to saying, well, then maybe all these other things are possible, even though you're not so directly accessing the problem. But the point here, a point is to consider, is that these things seem to work. For the people who do them with a lot of faith, they work. That's why the doers have been practicing for hundreds of years, because they have a faith in it based on experience. So one way of also understanding who or what Tao is that she makes them talk about, like I said, this combination of wisdom and compassion, and particularly in this enlightened attitude of the Buddha, which is able to especially cut through problems quickly and bring success to those who have faith in her. And she also, as why she's so much loved in the Buddha tradition, it symbolizes a very active, engaged form of compassion. And this is symbolized in one of the legends about how Tara healed in the world. The story just very, very simply. At one point, a lot of Shirala, the Buddha of compassion, was extremely moved and upset by how much suffering there is. Seeing the demons and feeling that we could respond, that we could possibly to eliminate all the suffering of seeing the demons. And it's like all this Christ like crying. And it was said that Tara was born in one of the tears of that Lord Shivaya. And she repeated to him and said, don't be despondent, don't give up. Therefore, missing the demons. Idea to help them. So what that little story, that sort of myth, that legend sort of represents is that being born out of tears to help them is the same, that she is this extremely active kind of compassion that fits in that box. So there are many stories about Avalokiteshvara and Tara appearing, actually appearing in various forms, not necessarily in that aspect, but in the same way to bring forth and help someone who is with another child. So, as I've described with all the other deities, she has a hollow body of light, so in this case, the body is a blue colour, or sometimes described as a blue-green. She has a very youthful appearance, very beautiful. Unlike Manjushri, described forearm form of Avalokiteshvara, she's not sitting with her legs crossed. The white colour is the green colour. Sometimes the Tibetan depiction of the paintings is hard to actually see all the details, but she has her left leg drawn up close to her body, so that symbolizes what she, I still think I can see so anyway, her left leg is drawn up close to her body to symbolize that she has complete control over all the energy beings of her body, and the right leg is outstretched and actually resting on a white lotus. So that symbolizes how she's, ready to get up and do something. She's not in this fixed position, but she's about to sort of leap up. In a sense. And also her the body posture is said to be in the dancing mode or dancing posture. So we should very relax. And the body is living attuned to the breath. So she has all the jewel ornaments that Avalokiteshvara and Manjushri wear, which is symbolic of the six far-reaching attitudes, the six perfections the ornaments of the enlightened mind, which is generosity, morality, patience, perseverance, and wisdom. So these are represented by this 5-pointed crown, and then jewel earrings, the three strands of necklaces, the armlets and bracelets, the jewel belt, and anklets. She also is adorned with flowers in her hair, these jewel scarves, or silk-like scarves. And on her crown, sitting on her crown, is the Buddha Amitabha. It's the Buddha of infinite light. He's the very source of all the compassion for all Buddhas. The Amitabha is like the Buddha, very inspirational, the source of all enlightenment. And sometimes she's depicted holding a lotus in each hand, sometimes like that, as in this picture. In other cases, she's always holding just one lotus, a blue lotus, on the left hand. So her right hand is outstretched, the right arm is outstretched, and with the hand resting on the right knee, in this mudra, which is called the mudra, bestowing sublime realizations, blessings, or generosity, feelings of the generosity of feeling. Sublime realization to us. And the left hand is in the mudra of, and that's the one that's usually holding the stem of the lotus, just pulsing in the left ear. So that's in the mudra of refuge. So that's the ring finger, the second finger is touching the trunk, and the other finger is standing up, so it represents the three groups of refuge. So she holds that at her heart. I can just talk to her. I just read the description of Tara, which was composed by a Tibetan Lama of the 18th century, and so on Milton. So his description is so Tara's mantle, I have to write this out as well. Be yourself in this. So almost all mantles start with form. So of course Tara comes from the word Tara, and in Sanskrit that way of saying Tara is just Tara, it's like calling out there, it's an invoking on Tari Tari to the Silha, and the seed syllable Tara is the syllable Tari. visualizes that having a new respect at heart, in our heart chakra, and when it visualizes the mantra standing upright around the new respect at heart, so that represents the very essence of her mind, of her knowledge of mind, and in Tibetan, that tongue is sort of the word. So as I mentioned last week, there are different ways of looking at all these deities, but started out as an ordinary seeking being, having the practice and achieved enlightenment and manifested in the aspect of Shakyamuni Buddha. Then there's also a historical biography of Tara, which is believed to have been as a sentient being. She lived many eons ago at the time when the previous Buddha was existing, long before Shakyamuni Buddha. And she was a princess called Yashodhara, which means wisdom. And she was very, very devoted to the Dharma and made incredible offerings to all the Buddhas. Enormous periods of time and incredible devotion. And so she practiced for a long time, generally reaching for becoming a bodhisattva. As a bodhisattva, she's devoted her entire energy to making use of the beings and conceptually. Before she would eat breakfast, she would liberate thousands. She had a set number of beings she would liberate from suffering. And she didn't have to eat breakfast until she liberated so many sleeping beings from suffering. And she wouldn't eat lunch before she was liberated. So eventually she was approaching and choosing a stage of enlightenment. So she was advised that she should pray to become a man and achieve enlightenment in that form. And she said to all these wise beings who were telling her to do that, most of it was manifested in the refers to the manifest. So the Sanskrit word mantra, my teacher Lama Rinpoche explains in general the meaning of the word mantra is mind protection. Mantra is something that protects your mind from suffering and delusion. And one is reciting a mantra and the mind is protected from suffering and pleasure, especially from craving and thoughts of yourself. So the more often recite the mantras properly, the more mind is protected. And reciting the mantras properly is not so much about as a trying to emphasize pronouncing them correctly. Reciting them properly is really much, much more about reciting them with faith, devotion, and refuge. it's with the best motivation, that is fortitude and motivation. The more you get close to the elephant aspects together, that is what is required. Deciding the nature of not when I'm simply according to the Sanskrit, but then you have it to make Sanskrit. Whether that's in the room, pretty much at all. Because you're doing it with faith, the best motivation, and with as much concentration as one can. So if one is gathering those three elements in one's mind as one's reciting, that is for your protection of your mind. It's not only protecting your mind, but at least it's doing that. But it can be an enemy of our things. Such as help develop wisdom and compassion up through obstacles. Also. So, just a quick explanation. There are different ways of explaining what the mantra of Tara, why Tara has a different mantra than some of the other Taras, that also has a different mantra. This is the Tara mantra, the main Tara, so it's the main one, which you learn in your sign. One way of understanding what it means is that my main teacher, Swami Maharshi, where he says, he was giving a commentary about Tara practice in the ministry. He said, yes, but I can talk much about the meaning of the mantra, but I don't think we need much explanation. Om means magnificent, or beautiful. Om has three syllables, so the Sanskrit is made up of three sounds, Om, Ah, and. So that is the unity of the divine or holy body, spirit, and mind. In other words, it symbolizes the total purity of body, spirit, and mind of God. Or the total unity of the body, spirit, and mind. Now we have not developed totally, therefore we have separate to our dualistic functioning of the body, spirit, and mind. Body functions differently, the speech functions differently, and the mind functions differently. But when you discover totality and unity, then speech is wisdom, and wisdom is the body. The body is the wisdom, and there is no dualistic separation of these two. This is the unity. So in a sense, Om represents organic total unity of one. So Ram goes on to say, we should discover on, therefore, we should discover on. So Tare means liberated. Chutare means greatly liberated. And Chule, the most of them. It's similar to the three sections of the Bhagavad Gita, the teachings on the Great Path. In the Ramayana, there are three divisions. They have the lower scope, middle scope, and higher scope. So the lower scope are the practices, the teachings and practices about renouncing attachment to this life. The middle scope is about advanced teachings and practices about renouncing all of scientific existence, and then the higher scope practice is part of teachings and meditations about generating volition and safety life and life. So Tara refers to the first Tara refers to that practices of initial scope, the lower scope of renouncing this life. So, particularly liberating from all the obstacles to those following the practices, all the So the thing with Tartaria represents liberating ourselves, helping ourselves to be liberated from all the obstacles to practicing and developing the complete renunciation of psychic existence. And then the third part is about liberating from all the obstacles to being able to generate virtue. Goes on to say, psychologically, however, we can say we are super concerned with our self-belief, with the pleasure of this life only. We are super concerned and obsessed with the temporal pleasure of this life. And Tari refers to liberation from this freedom mind of all that rubbish of being obsessed with this life. Super concern and self pity that goes with it. And then he likes it. And Tutare refers to the liberation from the ego and from the symptoms of the ego. And the final one, Ture, to liberation from all dualistic vision and from all ordinary vision, all wrong view. So you can say Tara is the liberator, Tara is the great liberator, and Tara is the greatest liberator. The Lama goes on to say, the Buddha himself said, sometimes I manifest in the world as a mantra. The Tara mantra is a manifestation. If you can understand it this way, it is extremely profound understanding. And soha means the subtle fundament. Put the fundamental foundation of the Tara accomplishments, the Tara accomplishments, and the Ture accomplishments into your heart. Put the foundation for these three liberated realizations into your heart. The purpose of these mantras is to liberate human beings from confusion, dissatisfaction, and any psychological symptoms. And just briefly, another way of looking at the mantra is that the Tara is about liberation from the obstacles to the renunciation. Chitara is liberation from the obstacles to developing the Chitta. And the final Ture is liberation from obstacles to developing the Wisdom. There are other explanations, but this is just a little introduction to Tara. There are many books that you can read about Tara. This very nice one was written by a venerable Tibetan Cherokee and a nun who lives in America, and called How to Free Your Mind. Very nice. There's also another wonderful book about Tara called In Prose of Tara by Martin Luther. It's also a fantastic book, both in stories and information and beautiful covers, illustrations. This doesn't have any illustrations, this one of those stories that Martin was is about. I know both of the authors, not old friends together. So Martin Wilson is a pretty fan of both PhD and Oxford. Was in life for some time. And he also very close to Tara, but very, very academic guy, but strangely, you know, this great devotion to Tara. So he wrote this book, In Praise of Tara. And so it's a beautiful illustration of Tara as well. reminds me just to say, just to remind you that to do this, the practices associated with retire, probably one should receive an initiation from a qualified practitioner. And there are different levels of initiation that can receive. Visualize oneself as Tara if one needs to receive the initiation. But just to visualize Tara in front and recite the mantra with some benefit this way, the Lama say it was open, do that, get out the initiation. If one wants to really take this practice in a more deeply, it's more benefit, then at some point it's really important to receive the initiation from the qualified Lama. But I would advise people. If you want to do that you should take the initiation. Because initiations are very, very serious thing, very heavy and calm. It's not just an event to go to initiation, you need to make a connection with the Lama for the rest of your life. That's the most strongest kind of karma connection you can make to the Lama. So it's really important to take the initiation to fit and check the teacher of the Lama who's doing it and make sure that they have are really someone with a very good practitioner, with a good heart, who's mobile, has some kind of wisdom, who's a good practitioner, and someone who can fit with you. Refuge is a refuge is a state of mind that we generate where we can hold faith in the Guru, in the existence of Gurus, and their qualities, and where we have faith in their teachings, and wanting to put those teachings into practice to secure our mind and awaken our positive qualities. So it's a state of mind that we generate, and it's a commitment to working with our mind, aligning with its thinking. But also, refuge can also involve a ceremony where officially, formally commit to following the Buddhist teaching, wholeheartedly relying on them. So that is a very, very basic. Ceremony commitment practice. All the different traditions of Buddhism have that's what defines someone as a Buddhist, someone who is taking it. Whereas initiations are unique to the temple at the tradition of Buddhism. What is it? Ceremony that due to the blessing of the Lama doing that, introduces you, enables you to bless your mind so that when you do the practice associated with it, you will find it good will and work to the best extent. You will wait for the waiting those qualities. But it's something that it doesn't exist. Initiations don't exist in the Theravada tradition. They don't exist in the genuine Mahayana tradition. They are unique to the temple aspect of the Mahayana tradition. Achieving the one. That's all I can say. So of course, there are different values, just like in the kind of many people seem to be feeling Tibetan Buddhism is associated with a lot of specific meaning. And so people tend to know the early Tibetan Lama is a higher level of stuff. Unfortunately, this is not true. So Lamas are from many middle levels. Lamas means people who have very little quality to some great Lama to be made up in the group. So, depending on the level of mind of the Lama giving the initiation, that much really well. If the Lama giving the initiation isn't really very spiritually advanced, then you're not going to take that much work. But if the person conducting the initiation is really somewhat very advanced in their practice, or may not know it, but on mind that we will know it. It's how they can be received in the church for themselves and love and refuse to get the church. I guess from his side, he's able to impart it. He also went through our side where we really have the faith, the devotion, the clarity of mind, the concentration to be able to. It's a two-way process of pursuing the church. That's amazing. This is a good introduction. There's lots and lots of things that are changing. So one of the things we will try to do is to recite this praise to Tara or the praises to the friend of one's eyes. So this is also from the Tantra tradition. It's actually a praise spoken by the Buddha himself. And this prayer is considered to be extremely powerful, it's extremely beneficial, and it is practiced in a great deal. There are many benefits of reciting this praise. It is said to help confer the quality of fearlessness on oneself. It purifies our negative karma. It protects us from falling into the lower realm. It is said to protect us from whatever accidentally or intentionally painful dreams, some kind of poison, it will protect us and be harmed by that thing. Then Lord wants to fade. Unfortunately, it's not pure magic, because anything that it can protect, and that's what it can protect from the negative spirits of the bodies. Very serious sicknesses. And at the end of this praise, there's a verse after the praises, there is a verse that talks about the benefits. And it says that if we recite this praise to 21 Tara, or praise to the 21 Taras, with faith and devotion, either twice, three times or seven times, whatever you wish for that. So if you want a child, you also have to do certain things as well. But if you do those things and you haven't chosen to work before, but then you do this prayer with a little bit of a child. If you want wealth, you want to get wealth. If you want to eliminate all sorts of problems in your life, again, it depends on one's karma, one's faith, one's motivation for doing it, one's concentration, actually doing it, support of this vaccine, so that if I can get this coming together strongly, it can do the work. That is why, in the many different voices of the communication, like Sarah, the ministry, the climate, and all the time, I don't know if it means to me, but I think that it will. I lived with Sarah in the ministry for a year in 1982, from South London. The months there, one period, during the new year, they put together collectively was Tibetans have great faith that these things work, that nature's work, that prayers and all these things will be completed. So, the inner question is limited to faith, right? And then the sight of Tibetan faith is wonderful. And the ritual meditation, visualizing the power. Before stepping into the world, there were many Buddhas before. There's always been Buddhas.
No, I hate no even Buddha. The Buddha, I think the word Buddha existed in India before people knew it. It means the awakened one, but there hasn't been anyone really fulfilling a role in the Sivali and locks them under the Bodhi tree like this. She was already a Buddha of Buddha Chaitanya. She had been actually a Buddha before, millions of eons before Chaitanya Buddha. She was a bodhisattva, and she was involved in that. Yes. Millions of eons. Oh, a long time. Yeah, millions of years before Shakyamuni Buddha, she lived, practiced, became a bodhisattva, followed the bodhisattva later, became the Buddha, without question, that's part of it. This area, this planet, is the human for this world, and many other highly recommended. This universe, from the Buddhist point of view, the universe is made up of many systems of the ideal planet. One planet, not part of one system, where there are human beings. So there are billion systems that make up the universe. And each of those billion systems are human beings. Now, like my being interested, there are billion systems where human beings bypass. This is going to be that's one universe, but there are many universes, and there are universes coming into existence and the universities going out of existence. And the human beings, like human beings on this, in this unit, like this one universe, when they bring it, they may go into the same system, within the same universe, or they may come to be born in another unit in the same universe, or they may be born. So when it says, you know, Tara was a human being of practice, doesn't mean she was practicing on the physical. She was practicing on another human being, on another universe. No. No, I don't know. Some of which are like flourishing, some are declining, some are going to be a bit positive. And this is what I do all the time. Once you're a Buddha, you can start, you can feel as power, you can feel as beneficial, you can feel as beneficial, you can feel as all three simultaneously. You can feel as a thousand times over the river, and you can get through it here, and you can achieve what's up there. So the English has been translated so that it can be chanted. Using the Tibetan tune. So this is what, so maybe we could try. I'll just play for you. I'm not quite sure how to do this. Then we should just be like, I could just stumble through things. And work with Tibetan and try and keep up. Normally, this prayer is chanted by Tibetans very quickly. But here, I thought, one doesn't sound very good. I've got one of my teacher lines over in the shape, chanting in Tibetan, of course, with a whole lot of the names from this. It's the number that we established in Nepal, which is, I think, probably now it's the biggest number in Nepal. There's over 300 monuments there. And they're all incredibly devoted, super energetic practitioners who study really hard in the ritual. This is a joining.
Chasa
so sempre tutto che prima c'è la roba che c'è cosa che cade ci è qua so va so che c'è in giro c'è la testa c'è il risotto fai una cosa che faccio ma le parole ci va forte che ho se che ci non c'è c'è se tu con Rob Yeager c'è la tua gamba che fa niente lui fa me va che fa lui ma c'è se che lui fa il samba e lui fa il samba e lui fa to borrow a piece of hand and the gin dog is in it. Just a treasure to the cake, a part of the job, my egg and your second and the other version to farm. Just a treasure to the gym, for the power of a job. Chicken and the churn and the end, the double time to mother, sir, my child, the conjoins of the charic. Chaza Raju Kawa Jibe, Udina Gitama Bama, Jeva Raja Kukarai. Zama, Chaza Zaji Kamwe Tsokam, Tanji Kupanu Manye. Chunya Yue Yige Hongi, Bamba Kamji Nama Joma, Chaza Tawe Tupo Oi. Yiba Tanji Shintu Bama, Rebecca Le Bambe, Le Tapa Shintu Oraze. Chaza Gibe Tamil Meda, Bawe Tewe Udane. Yegan Yakan Kune Korge, Trae Kune Napa Joma, Chaza Saji Kaja, Kudin Nushi Shaki Joma, Chunyan Yate Yige Hon, Riva Dumbo Mandi Gema, Chaza Dema Gema Jim, Nayan Deshi Joyo Nima, So Da Yanda Timbe, Tiba Jimbo Jumbo Nima, Korakarwe, Trae Kune Napa Gema, Yige Chibbe Mani Kube, Riva Hone Duma Nima, Chaza Kuraja Mitabe, Hongi Nada Zabanim, Rira Mandara Dambirje, Jidam Suna Yuanim, Chaza Layu Zoyan Nambe, Rira Dada Chandam, Tara Niju Begige, Tuna Mayu Panisam, Chaza Layu Zoyan Gelpo, Lada Miyatem, Kune Gunja Gao Jige, Zoda Milanim Baselma, Chaza Nimandawege, Jennifer Laura Selma, Arani Gutarai, She do double in the Selma, Chaza Venus on the good. She will do the Yanda Tema, Dona Roland Urgent Thought, Jumba Dure Rabunim, Tawing Arita Vadidam, Chaza Wani Nishu Saji.
That was it, but we'll do it more slowly now.
What page are we on?
So some of you might be horrified by some of the, with the, look at the English, some of it looks quite scary and mothful, but one shouldn't take it at face value. It's all symbolic, and there's no actual violence involved. It's all about destroying the illusions itself. It's not about actually harming something.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I suppose it's good to start out doing it slowly. But the idea is to learn to be able to do it fairly quickly, because actually, if you actually get into the habit of doing it either in Tibetan or in English, it really does generate some good energy, especially by doing it several times in a row and try and visualize. People can show you a couple of times, but try and visualize those times in space. Sending out light to oneself, to all things, freeing them of suffering, confusion, sickness, obstacles, difficulties, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't think of all the 21 tiles, one can just focus on the central figure of Green Tower. Just go back to Green Tower. So let's try one time in English. All my prostrate to the noble transcendent liberator,
Homage to our scripture heroic, as I by being instantaneous, sprung from opening statements of the Lord and three was here upon Moses. Homage to his face combines a hundred ordering with the force, blazing with light rays resplendent, tens of thousands of collection. Homage, golden blue and lotus, waterborne and adorned, giving ever posterity, patient meditation, her spirit. Homage, crowned at the carters, actions triumph without limit, relied on by conquerors' children, having reached every perfection. Homage, filling with Tutare, whom desire, direction, and space, tramping with her feet the seven worlds, able to work all wounds. Homage, worshipped by the All Lord, Shakma Agni Brahmamaru. Honored by the host of spirits, spokesperson of Siddhartha's Yakshas. Homage with her train and fair sounds, destroying those magic diagrams. Her feet pressing left and right in, blazing in a raging fireplace. Homage to River, a dreadful destroyer of Mara's champion. She with frowning lotus visage, she was slayer of all enemies. Homage at the heart of fingers, adorned with regal mudra. Like rain masses all excited, all directions was adorned her. Homage, she's her joyous radiance, round emitting garlands of light. Mirthful laughing with Tutare, subjugating Mara's devas. Homage, she able to summon all of Guardian's assembly. Shaking, running with her home sign, saving from every misfortune. Homage, crown adorned with crescent, moon all over Christmas shining. Amitabha in her hair not sending out much light eternal. Homage, she meets with the blaze like the unending fire abiding. Quite sure that they push around you, troops of enemies destroying. Homage, you strike the ground with her army with ever beats it. Scowling with the letter on the seven levels she does conquer. Homage, heavy, virtuous, peaceful, she is filled with peace and honor. She endows Omansoa, destroyer of the great evil. Homage, she with joy surrounded, tearing her body as asunder. Freeze with home and knowledge mantra, rainbow of the ten letters. Homage to ring with sea letter of the shame of silver home. Five foot standing shakes the three worlds, Meru, Mandara, and Vindya. Homage holding in the hand the Hemakun of Deva Lake form. Whispering for Gandhara and Vedra, willing dispelling poison. Homage to gods and their kings and the Kanaras to honor. Harbor the more joyful splendor, she dispels by dreams and conquest. Homage she whose two eyes bright with radiance of sun and moon. With Vaisara and Dutare, she dispels the fear of danger. Homage full of liberating, proud by the set of three natures. Destroys hosts of spiritual yakshas and raise hopes of supreme dure. These raises with the root mantras and prostrations thy heart to 20. So that's the 21 Tara phrases that it's very good to recite if you want to be free of obstacles. Success in your life, and just to connect with Tara in general, which was three times as difficult. But as it says, it was there's lots of things I could say. Anyway, many great lamas relied on Tara. So, for example, one of the greatest Indian masters, he was invited to Tibet as a Lama teacher. And when he was invited to go to Tibet, he wasn't sure whether it would be beneficial to do so or not, because he was a very important figure in one of the great monasteries of India, and all the other scholars there didn't want him to leave, because he was one of the greatest masters. So a Lama teacher was able to actually speak to Tara, because Tara was his main deity, the Vairam, and his practice. So he would ask Tara whether he should go to Tibet for me. And she said to him, yes, it's good for me to go to Tibet, it would be extremely beneficial, but your life will be much shorter. If you go to Bodh Gaya, to the Holy Place,
is where Buddha manifested the children of God. There was a statue there, the entire with a section spoken to that meditation. In fact, I think that's the one who told me that prayed to that statue that spoke to him and said, yes, you can do that. That's good. So what we could do now, just to finish, is in order to try and connect with Tara as much as possible, we'll try and visualize Tara and focus, but she's here. Tara's energy is here all the time. So we'll try and connect with that energy by visualizing Tara and trying to concentrate on that image and recite the mantra to Tara. So we can begin by sitting comfortably in a good position, your meditation posture as much as possible. Just let your mind calm down by doing some breathing meditation, such as the one around breathing exercise, just for a very short time. And then try as strongly and sincerely as possible to generate the body of cheating motivation for wishing to connect with time, wanting to be able to connect with this wonderful being in order to awaken those same qualities of wisdom and compassion within oneself and to develop that ability to cut through all problems and difficulties and be successful in all one's activity, especially one's daily practice with many different signs. So then think that in response to that wish to be able to commit the time in order to train one's mind in the path to enlightenment, think that the Buddha's respond by manifesting in front of himself all around himself a great ocean of mukha. And from that ocean of mukha, there arises an incredibly beautiful multi-portal, multi-colored lotus. Arising from the recognition and the spirit. With all of the nature of your transparent radio demands. Incredibly beautiful. And hovering just above that lotus, a little bit smaller than that, is pure dark lotus. So, I think that when he is seated on that, his mantra, the body is free from the body, which is the holy body, and free from the mind. The blissful face is smiling, the right hand is in the fifth discern gesture, the left hand folds over her heart with the thumb and the finger. The snort of the blue lotus, which blossoms at the level of her left wing. She appears to be 16 years old, as the body essence of all the major mind signs of the Buddha, living in her body. The manner is charming and sensuous. She is adorned with swelling breasts. She has a grand bird's jewel. Her own necklaces silk like hand, big silk, and she wears a skirt and very coloured silk. Her hair is a thin, thin part, and is tied up in knots on the left side of the head, and the rest swirls and hangs down her head. She is seated in the posture of royal ease, with her right foot slightly extended, resting on her small lotus, and her left foot is drawn up. Behind her is a halo and a full moon. Tichoni, all by the nuclear weapon in her mind, try and hold his wisdom. This journey of the faith of Mother Tara, Holy Tara, is a clear, clear picture of great compassion. Looking at you with intense, loving concern and compassion. But having that same attitude at the same time towards all things. To think of that, to the center of her body, to her chest, at the heart chakra, is a tiny white fingers. Standing in the center is the silver tongue, breathing silver tongue. And standing upright, around the edge of the fingers, also breathing the heart, and the syllables of her mantra, So as we recite the mantra, imagine this peaceful, luminous light and mantra radiates from the tongue, more than 10 circles of the mantra, and the other inside reaches out to oneself, looking at all sorts of human feelings, dead, family, friends, cultures, family, friends and strangers, all things that excite. Brings it all suffering, all confusion, all misery, all misery, all sickness, all sickness, all the sickness. I can imagine all of that breathing from the suffering, breathing in the mind of form, with the pores out of the lower part of that body, as a whole. Whatever the problems and difficulties one is experiencing right now, in relation just to oneself or in relation to other people, or because of other people, to death, with all of those problems, how are you going to make this peaceful, feeling alive and not becoming enough? So for a sign from nature of the power, a short term, and quietly,
Om Bhagavate Buddhaya Namah. Om Bhagavate Buddhaya Namah. Om Bhagavate Buddhaya Namah. Om Dharma 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 Om Dharma dare to me so. Om dare to dare to me so. Om dare to dare to me so. Om dare to dare to me so.
Thank you.
accept the oneness with pure Holy Spirit with the Holy Father. Your mind and your Holy Spirit is to accept that the oneness and oneness with pure mind.
Through the merits of your spiritual sanctions,
we will
retain the state of the good of all, and lead all living beings without exception into our enlightened state. May your precious blood and mind unite with all your light and joy. May the common habit come and in grace forevermore.
Just in conclusion, I'd just like to say that in addition to all the practical things that we have to do in our life to avoid problems or to prevent problems and difficulties, and as well as the balance practices that hopefully we are trying to do in our life, especially practicing the teachings and stuff. We put to remember to have things and problems and difficulties around all we need some good success in our life to call on time, excite, praise the time, and visualize the different something else. Just a quote from my Tibetan Lama, who says, the principal protection for the members of life is the loving graciousness of time. It doesn't matter whether one is a householder or has left the house for a wife. Everyone should practice the education of the empire in order to remove all inappropriate influences and so become as a pure horseman vessel. Thus the recitation has consequences that are most broad, and evocation feels most good and affects the most feeling. Just hearing it, simply, from the mantra sound, has been conceivable for stage from it saves from suffering. Whatever one wants to have, whatever unpleasant things one wants to be without, she responds to it publicly. This deity guides and protects the practitioners as if she were within a company practitioner, never disappointing. And in relation to that, at the end of March, we are having a visit of a Chala lady, a lama for Pandora. She's a special practitioner, not knowing that blessing by the names. She has a very close connection to his Holiness the Dalai Lama, who actually is a principal. She's also a representation to my teacher, Lama's Open, in terms of spiritual health, this center on the whole of Pandora. So it's a very neat opportunity to receive teaching to our connection and parts practitioner of the Tibetan tradition, very well, very special for me. So she's coming in March 20th. She can teach in the public to work with Dansai Hall on Friday between the 8th, and then giving teachings to the hospitals. The teachings here will be in the morning of the set by the same guy. So if somebody came to put out, I'm not very surprised, because it's going to be a I think there's a huge amount of interest, so we just sort of contact us as soon as possible. There's some complications with it, like we might be able to dispose of the things to go back there and do numbers of them, and that can really happen. And also, we really need people to volunteer for all sorts of things, like we're in the fact that inside, also we have so many things in the room. If you'd like to offer them online, also please contact the office. We'll need lots of people. And there will be a list on the wall until I see you are in specific jobs and activities that need to be done, so we'll put on. Hopefully we'll also put on our website on the news soon, as we're trying to get all this kind of organized as soon as possible. So thank you very much. So the tradition is to finish the teachings with three questions.